Welcome one, welcome all. Step right up, step right up, ladies and gentlemen. Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 171. Same old, is coming at you right now. Howdy, everybody. Portal Game Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. It's a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal, which is located in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can log on to www.theportalct.com. Check us out on Facebook, The Portal, and on Twitter. That's where you'll find me, at PortalGaming60. My name is The Brant, and I am your host for this episode. Thank you so much for joining me. Of course, the elephant in the room is this podcast is now, 6 weeks after the other one. It is the podcast that, I promise, the podcast is going to come out monthly. Probably not weekly, as I did at some point, with the YouTube channel going on too. There's just a lot of content, so you can check us out on there. If you haven't signed up to the YouTube channel, it is Step Into the Portal. You will see a lot of Marvel Champions. That's just because of some rollover, kind of similar to how there hasn't been a podcast episode in a little while. It's not dead. They're going to come out once a month. I'll have guests on. I'll have just me. It was just a matter of Kathy and I took a trip in August. And then there was a couple other things going on. There weren't a lot of new games that came in, so I just decided to wait a little bit. And then school started, and then all of a sudden I had waited 3 weeks after what I thought I would do an episode in August. So that's all it comes down to. It's not anything other than that. I don't have a ton to talk about. That's why the episode is called Same Old, Same Old. Usually I'm pretty famous for rifling through 4, 6, 8 new games that I've played. But I haven't played a lot of new, or there's some things that I haven't finished, or I will give you some on it, but I know it's not necessarily what everybody's looking towards. There's obviously not a lot of new games coming out of major significance. That's no negative to some smaller games that have been coming out. And there's things that I had hoped to play, but I had not really gotten a chance to play. So I've really been playing kind of the similar games over and over. But yeah, please join the YouTube channel. That's going to start to pick up a little bit more. We had to move it out of the store, so now it's in my house. And it's mostly me solo. It's tricky for Larry to get down here and play. So it kind of shifted over to me playing a lot of Champions just to keep content on there weekly. I'm not the greatest solo game player. Like, it's not so interesting to me. I think I'm actually going to start to do some two-handed plays where it's just me kind of Rotto style playing just so I can show off some of the games that I enjoy. And not focus always on the solo mode. Sometimes just running that solo mode is more. I don't really have anything that much against it. I just don't tend to enjoy as much playing with other people. All right, excuse me. Okay, so that is what's happening there. So beautiful fall weather around here has been really nice. Getting ready to go to Gen Con. I am hesitantly excited. I'm excited to see people. It's going to be a whirlwind tour. We're flying in for the first time. And I'm working the Capstone booth, so you can check out there. I got a bunch of other things to do related to education and looking up games and talking to people and connecting on using games in the classroom and then flying back home. So it's kind of a whirlwind trip. Hopefully we'll be able to pick up a bunch of games there and get those played and get reviews out and get those up on the channel as well. So you can kind of dual see everything there and whatnot. So probably a little bit of a shorter episode, and then we'll try to do some things related to Gen Con. I don't think we're going to get to do things while we're there. We're pretty limited on time this year, which is abnormal. Usually we're there a whole week, but with it being pushed back, I am just there for 3.5 days. So, excuse me, so literally half the time, so getting a lot in recorded. And then with flying, we're not going to do our famous driving home from Gen Con, and Larry's not attending with us this year, so we'll see how all that goes. I know it'll be sad. Some people, they say that's their favorite episode. So there's that. All right, let me review some games for you. And then I'm going to kind of run down a list of games that I have replayed that are just phenomenal. Like, the best part of being home and not a lot of new games coming out has been replaying games that, man, like, they're so good. So I just want to run through some of those. And I know for me, when I listen to podcasts or listen to people, I just get excited, like, when somebody starts saying, like, oh, remember this game from so many years ago, and I'm playing it again, and I'm enjoying it, and it makes me like, oh, I want to play that game and enjoy it, too. So hopefully you'll get that same thing. So first off, let me start with Descent, Legends of the Dark. I will tell you that I'm not going to review it right now, but this is an example of a game that I'm in the middle of playing, and it's going to take me a while. I'll actually do you a solid and point you right over to Drive Thru Reviews and Joel Eddy. He did an amazing, like, top 10 kind of list about this game. He played through the whole thing. So if you don't know, it's a big box dungeon crawler game from Fantasy Flight Games. It's been, pretty popular in the circles now for talking about the price because it's $175 retail. I did not get a review copy. I did purchase this game. So, there's that element to it, just so you know. But I really don't want to review the game till I finish it. And Joel just did a phenomenal review, so definitely check that one out. I think that I have played seven quests. No, I know I have played seven quests, and I believe there's 15 and a few side quests. I've done no side quests so far. So, I mean, you're looking at another couple, by Christmas time, I'm hoping to finish up. That's just the pace. And I'm playing it one, two, and three players, mostly one, sometimes two, and a little bit three, but probably mostly single player, but you can jump in and out. So far, my impressions are very positive. I love the game, and whatnot. The board and the terrain that you set up, I really enjoy it, but I could see how people would find it unnecessary, and feel like then they're just playing a video game. But I think at that point, I would just play a video game if I didn't have the board. So those are some of my initial impressions. But I will tell you, it is currently sitting in my top 10 games of the year. So not a thorough review here, but I wanted to make sure I mentioned it since I played so much of it. I mean, it takes about an hour to an hour and a half, so you're talking about probably 10, 12 hours of playing that game. That's a lot. Normally I'll play a game, some of the smaller games, maybe three times, and it's been a total of 2 or 3 hours. So I've played this one plenty. I'm enjoying it. There are definitely some unique things here. I totally understand. Nobody I've really played it with so far has enjoyed it. Kathy's been in and out. She played it. She kind of enjoyed it. Then she didn't. She dropped out. Then I told her some things changed. So she played again. She enjoyed it. She's back in playing. So it's really just an up and down roller coaster. Campaigns are tough. I really enjoy campaigns with Kathy and Legacy games because we get them played. So that's kind of that enjoyable part. But yeah, so far, so good. I really have been enjoying that one. All right, so for newer stuff, I played Mad Titan Shadow. So this is the newest expansion, the Thanos expansion. It's not available yet. I ordered my copy from the UK where it is available, and that came in. And if you want to watch me play that, you can see the entire campaign on stream in four. There's five villains. I fought two of them in the first video and then one each in the next. So there's four videos up there. You can watch the whole campaign played through and enjoy that. I talk a lot about Marvel Champions. I really enjoy this one. Galaxy's Most Wanted, I loved because I love the theme and I love the Guardians of the Galaxy, but it just was too overwrought with randomness. This one felt a lot easier, almost too easy, but the theme was really strong. So it was just kind of fun to be able to play through and not, worry about, oh my God, really focus and pay attention, and then kind of up the difficulty from there. So very positive on that, as I always am with Marvel Champions. And Nebula is going to come out soon, so we'll get a chance to play that. All right, Summoner War, second edition. So there's not a lot of change if you played the first Summoner War. Summoner Wars is like a card game, but it's almost like a minis game where you're car I'm sorry, my voice is a little weird today. It's a card game, like almost like a minis game, though, where you have the cards out on a board and they can move around various spaces. And as they move around, you can attack and roll dice and things. And so the second edition, they cleaned up the artwork. Plaid Hat kind of got the rights back, and cleaned up the graphic design significantly, and then just streamlined the game. So, for example, you used to draw your cards at the start of your turn, if I remember, and now you draw your cards at the end. There's not really a lot of changes if you're saying like first edition versus second edition. It's just second edition all the way. This is where they're going to release content, and it's just they just streamlined some things. I mean, it's really not a lot of changes. But basically, the game has a rule of three. Like, you can move three units. I think they only move two spaces. That's the one place. You can attack at a range of three. Like all those kind of things. What's happening is you have a deck of cards, and then to play cards, you have to give up so much mana. I think it's just magic. And you get magic by discarding cards into a turn. The trick is you cannot go through your deck a second time. So you're picking, do I want to play this card or not? And then you're going out on the board and you're rolling dice in a really fun dice rolling way. Pretty good. I think the odds of hitting with range is 2/3, and the odds of hitting melee is like 5 and 6. So you have pretty good chance of hitting, and you just roll your number of dice and you're trying to destroy the other person's summoner, and then you have a bunch of abilities. So yeah, it's just really fun to interact with those abilities. It's kind of like a, it's not light. It's a lot slower once you get the cards in your hand. But you know, once you get it down, it's going to be 25, 30 minutes. Initially, it's only going to be like 45, though. It's not going to be 2 hours to get through a game. So really enjoy that one. I want to get a play streamed on the channel. In fact, I'm considering streaming it later today. This is one of the ones that I would play two-handed so people could see. That is Summoner Wars Second Edition from Plaid Hat Games. We also got a chance to play Golden Ticket, and this is from Buffalo Games. And Golden Ticket is a, I've got a golden ticket. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, game. And so what's happening here is it's kind of, you've got a grid of nine, and there's all of these amazing Wonka bars that are like a piece of plastic that can slide out, and you put another golden tickets and play with a number of chocolate bars based on players, which I think it's 2 to 5. I can't remember if it goes to 6. And they're really, really amazing. They look so cool. So you get all these out there, and then you're just going around this 3x3 grid. You can move your meeple, and you're all the characters in the game: Veruca Salt and Violet and TV Mike TV and Willy Wonka and Gustav. I can't remember his name. And you're moving around kind of the area, London area, and the factory. You can kind of move a space. Then you're playing these cards that you have in your hand, and the cards are the various, you know, everlasting gobstoppers and all those kind of chocolate bars and things, and they have abilities as you play them, or you're simply playing a card to just be able to move a space and then trigger whatever that is. So it's kind of worker placement, but it's more like moving around a board, I guess. And you're just trying to collect money and collect these chocolates to be able to cash in either money or candy to get the Wonka bars. And when all the Wonka bars run out, the game is over. And then everybody opens their Wonka bars and sees who got a golden ticket. And so there's actually more than one golden ticket, typically. I think in a two-player game, there'd only be one. So more than one person can win. So it's really just doing the part to get into the factory, which does kind of, you know, override the other part. But it's a blast. Like, it's a solid family game. It's got good decisions. I thought the best part was that those cards were, like, in pretty wide variety. Even though they exist in multiples, it makes sense. Like, if you have one of these, if you have two of these, if you have three of these, so you kind of want to collect those. But there was a lot of different candies with a lot of different abilities. Not overwrought, because you want it to just be a game you can just play with your family and play it quick. It's, you know, 20, 30 minutes. The production is awesome, and the joy is definitely there. We're big fans of the movie, and whatnot, so. It's very intriguing to us. Strike that, reverse it. No, it is intriguing, but that's that element. So yeah, really enjoy that game, Golden Ticket. That was a fun one to pick up. All right, and then last, I'm going to talk about Lord of the Rings: Journeys in Middle-earth. So I got a chance to play through the whole campaign of this. A little bit older game, Fantasy Flight Games. This is the one that predates Descent, and kind of what got me to play Descent. So a friend and I played through all of it. I think it took us about, I think it was ended up being 14 quests, and we played on Wednesdays, and I think it took us about 3 months of playing on Wednesdays, skipping some, playing one, two, or three on a given night. So what happens in Journeys in Middle-earth? So you're playing through all these quests. It's app driven. There's a story. And you're playing as your various characters from Lord of the Rings. Some are made up for their universe, others are, you know, the standard characters. And as you're playing through, you've got a deck of cards. And it'll say, like, Scout 2. So you get to draw two cards from your deck, pick one, and play it. They are the tiny cards, and you can put it in front of you. You can have four cards in front of you. So it's kind of like a face-up hand of cards. And those are going to give you all your abilities and things. Then when you check, if it says, like, check your agility, you'll look at your agility stat, which might say, like, 3, and you draw 3 cards off of your deck. They either have no symbol, they have a success symbol, or they have a fate symbol. So the fate symbol, you can spend your inspiration to turn into successes, so you're trying to collect that and play your way through and be able to gain those things. And then other cards might give you various abilities. On your turn, you get 2 actions, so you can move, which is 2 spaces. You can interact with a token, or you can fight an enemy. Fighting is another, like, check. You check to see how many successes you get, and then successes turn into hits. So, for example, when I'm weak, it might be a success does 2 hits to an enemy who has 6 health. But later on, a success might do 3 damage and pierce. So it'll go through armor if they have it and deal them 3 damage as you level. As you progress, you're earning lore, and lore allows you to upgrade your weapons and items and things. You also get more cards to shuffle in your deck, and then you can kind of, like, pick a class, and you can change classes. So it's really got that, like, RPG, JRPG feel going along with this Lord of the Rings thing. So what are the bads? So the bads are it progresses very slowly. So you get a weapon, it upgrades like 4 or 5 missions in, it upgrades again at like mission 10, and then it doesn't really upgrade again. And it's not a big difference. Like I said, it's maybe two hits, first 2 hits in pierce or 3 hits in pierce. And you could get multiple successes to trigger some of those things. You find kind of random items, so if they work well for your group, it's great, but if you don't, then they don't really work there. So that whole, like, level item system, definitely if that is your thing, if that's what you're into, like, this isn't really a dungeon crawl, it's an exploration game, but if that's what you're into, like, ooh, I get all these items and armor and upgrades, you might be out. What are the other bads? I'm not going to say that as a bad. It's very repetitive, but you're trying to find those cards. Like, the cards are only successes. That part's very repetitive, but the cards that you get otherwise are interesting. But definitely you're kind of doing the same thing over. There's a lot of red herrings in the game that are kind of annoying. Like, you're going to explore, and it's like, you feel better that you found this mushroom. So gain an inspiration, and that's not really worth all the actions. And the 2 actions a turn is rough. It just feels really limited when you can't do a lot. I move 1 space, and then I interact with this token, and I'm done. So I will say that, like, Descent changed that, where you can move, save your movement points, do something, and then continue to move, and that feels a lot better. You just feel like you have a lot more. Also, Descent moved to 3 actions. 1 has to be move, but at least it kind of builds that in for you, so you get two other things you can do. What are the goods? It is extremely rich in Lord of the Rings flavor. Now, if you're a massive Lord of the Rings buff, and you're so really into, like, those original books, they created a lot of this story, right? So you're going to find a lot of extra things that aren't really part of the normal lore because they added to it, but it really makes you feel like you're in that. The quest, I thought, progressed pretty well. I wasn't, like, overly shocked with the story, but it was a solid enough story to want to follow, to see what happens, what's interesting, and obviously we played through the whole thing for all of that. Some of the upgrades you get are neat. The cards you get are really good. That's really fun. The cooperation is pretty good. There's some cards that cooperate really well. Usually it's more like pathing out. Like, ooh, if I go over here, I'll be more efficient doing this. You'll be more efficient doing that. Now, what happened to us is we played with 2, and it turned out that, like, Bilbo was just, like, this assassin character. He could just eliminate any enemy in 1, if not 2 hits. So that was a little non-thematic, and he was going that way, and I was doing all the exploring, and I could move quicker and get around to places. We only had 1 quest that we thought was terrible. It was not well laid out. It wasn't well thought out. We didn't even know how to win. Honestly, it ended up telling us that we lost the game, and we reset back just like a turn, and then just made it so that we won, because had we understood what was going on in the quest, we definitely wouldn't have won it. But I'm not focusing on the 1 that was bad. I'm focusing on the 13 that I thought were really good. You switch back and forth between kind of an explore map and a fight map, and I thought they did that pretty well. There were some that were like deduction puzzles instead of just exploration. Some were pure fighting. Some were pure exploration without a lot of fighting at all. For that. Oh, the other part that's tricky is the timer. So every turn during the shadow phase, it ticks up shadow, and that's kind of your timer. If it gets to a certain point, events happen, and if it gets to a certain point, you completely lose. And it's a little oppressive at times. Like, okay, well, we can't go do all these things. We're just going to have to go straight for the story, and you feel like you want to explore more in this game, especially in that Lord of the Rings universe that's so rich. I want to go climb that tree. I want to go look at that fort. I want to go talk to that hobbit, those kind of things, and it doesn't always let you do that. So I would say that part was a little negative. Overall, I'm super glad I played through it. This is one of 4 current campaigns, and I'm considering doing another one, but I picked up Descent, so I haven't jumped into doing Lord of the Rings. But I've heard some of the other ones are very good, or even better, so I would like to try some of those. I do think 14 is a little long. I would have been happy with 10, or, yeah, I'll just say 10. I think it's kind of that key number that you can get played if you play 2 a night for 5 weeks. You know, and you skip a week, now you're done in a month and a half, and that sounds about what I'd want to play in a game like this that I'm actually immersed. 3 months got a little long. By the end, we're having fun. In the middle, say around quest 10, when I thought it would be over, then it was like, oh, I don't know if I can get back to this. And then I think quest 11 took us like a whole evening, and then the last night we played 12, 13, 14 right in a row, and beat it. So, yeah, I liked it. I liked it enough to want to play more. I would definitely play it again. But it's a commitment. I again, campaigns work so much better for me with two players than with four players. Unless I had a regular meetup group at a, you know, not a house or something where I knew people were going to be there. But I don't think you'll be disappointed. They're making one more expansion for it, so there'll be two expansions. I'm guessing that'll end up with about six different quest lines you can play through, and there's some random generation in each of them. So I'm definitely looking forward to trying one. I don't know that I get through all six of them, but I would definitely play two or three. That is Lord of the Rings: Journeys in Middle-earth. From Fantasy Flight Games. Awesome. So those are the games I have to review. I have, like I said, I haven't played a lot of new stuff lately, and that's more on me. I didn't make it to a lot of the game nights from mid-August through now that are happening at the store. We are masked up at the store. The town of Manchester has gone to a mask mandate, which I'm happy with, and so that's been good. But I have gone back to play a bunch of Euros. Let's just call them Euros because they're Euros. And they're just really good games, like top 100 games. And so I just want to go through some of those and give you a quick overview here. I know it's a little bit of a faster episode, but hopefully after Gen Con, there'll be some longer episodes and have some more things. So Kathy and I sat down in a night. We had like a day. Zephyr was gone for 2 nights overnight. And so we had some time, a whole day to sit down. We played four games that were just so good. So the first one is Foothills. And this is a game from Lookout. And it's a two-player, like, train building game. And it's action selection. So you have a set of cards in front of you. You pick an action, you flip it over, and now you have a lesser action on the other side. Eventually, one of your actions will be to get rid of one of those cards and replace it with a new card that's face up, and the old card gets set aside in a pile that tells you how you're going to score at the end of the game. So really clever mechanisms. And then what you're doing, it's based off of Snowdonia. So you're digging up rubble to then be able to build train tracks to then add train stations, and you're completing these lines. The game comes with like nine different lines, and you play with seven each time, so it changes it up. And each line has different bonuses, different things, different rules that go along with it. But again, not overly complex. This whole game is like right in that 30 minute. It's that two-player line, 30 minute sweet spot. And yeah, it's a great game. I really, really liked it. Kathy was a little more ho-hum, but with it. Then we played Lisboa. And Lisboa is a big old Vito Lacerda game with a big old production from Eagle Griffin Games. And let me just tell you, this is my favorite Vital Lacerda game. Even after playing it again, I wasn't sure. I probably haven't played it in, let's say, I could almost go 3 years. Probably 2.5 years I hadn't played Lisboa in. Phenomenal game. Based off of the city of Lisbon in Portugal, and in some amount of decades, they had a fire, an earthquake, and a tsunami all hit the city, and they decided to rebuild it. So you're removing the rubble, and then you're adding in buildings, and it's all this blue marble. The game is gorgeous. You have a hand of cards. You're playing a card to do a certain action, to then pick amongst a set of actions, to then pick amongst a set of actions. So it's those branching trees, and I absolutely adore that. I love that. And Magna Storm is the game that first comes to mind that is like that, but it's that whole, oh, now you can pick this or this. Now you can pick this or this. Now you can pick this or this. Or sometimes there's three things. And yeah, Lisboa is just great. I love that game. I will say it's been tough. A lot of people just, it's hard to wrap your head around how the game is working. I guess it's heavy. I mean, it's definitely heavy. But I don't know. It clicks for me, and it's one of those games that's tough for me to explain to people. Like, this is what you do. I think it's very open in the beginning. It doesn't give you a lot of this is what you should do. But as you play, it kind of closes that. In the more traditional style. So I think that's what can be a little tricky for people. But you're building all these buildings to gain bonuses, and you can get ships, and you can ship goods, and then you can collect these decree cards that are going to score points for you at the end of the game. And it's really, really good. And I can tell you, I think Kathy beat me like 150 to 101 or 98. I got crushed. Had a blast. So it just tells you how good this game is. And then I think the biggest unsung gem of this, well, there's two on here that I think are unsung gems. We played Runestones after that. And so this is a Rudiger Dorn. Oh, I hope I'm right. Game Queen Games. And it's like a fantastical world where you are all druids and you are trying to summon creatures and then play those creatures to get artifacts. And then you can turn the artifacts in for runestone. So it's like a whole resource management thing. And you're playing these cards. So on your turn, you can either recruit cards, other creatures, or you can play two creature cards, and they all have numbers. And the higher one's out of the game, and the lower one you get back. And you trigger abilities. So it's like you're gaining colored gems, and the gems are what you can turn in to make the artifacts. And then the artifacts, you can turn in a variety of colors to get the runestones. And the runestones are really cool powers that you have for the rest of the game. So the longer you wait to get a runestone, or like the more gems, sorry, artifacts you get to get the runestones, the more points you'll get. But the sooner you get them, the sooner you get those really fun, unique powers that are in the game. And we have the expansion, so there's also like familiars that you can go through, and there's harpies that can trigger abilities, and all the expansions are like seamless in the game. It takes it from like medium light, right on that cusp of medium light medium, to a solid medium game. Without feeling like, oh no, I gotta learn all these rules. Like, you can throw those in right from the beginning. Very much reminds me of Taverns of Tiefenthal. Like, throw all that stuff in right from the beginning. Lots of fun. So, that is Runestones. I highly recommend. We played it on our Extra Life live stream last year, so you can find it somewhere there. We played it four players. A little tricky four players. I'm starting to find how many games I don't enjoy nearly as much at four players as I do at two and three. Which is really that sweet spot for some of these. Then after that, we followed up with Lost Runes of Arnak. So people have just sung the praises of this and sung the praises of Dune Imperium. And so I got a chance to play Dune Imperium more recently, and I was like, yeah, it's good, it's fun, I like it. It's not something I'm looking to play regularly. The whole space theme is not something Kathy's into. We had played Lost Runes of Arnak. In fact, I imagine I reviewed it last year. And Kathy and I played it twice, and we were like, we really liked the first time, and then the second time we were like, I'm not sure if we liked it. We really need to play it a third time, and then it sat for a while. We didn't play it. And finally we said, let's break this out and play it again, and we both loved it this time. Like, it really just felt like, yeah, no, whatever we were thinking that we didn't enjoy, the points weren't super close, so it definitely, every game I've played, there's definitely been a winner, but it doesn't matter. Like, you have so much fun, you're not worried about, I don't know, just, I always think of Dominion in this boat. Like, I don't know if I really was that worried whether or not I won. So really, really solid game. I'm seeing that my battery is dying, so I'm going to go pretty quick to finish up this episode here. But Lost Runes of Arnak was great. And then the other two are Matt Riddle and Ben Pinchback. So I played Stellar, I played with Kathy, and I played with Eric Sommer. And that is just a great two-player game. I talked about Subastral. Stellar is much, much better. So I highly recommend that. And then the other unsung gem is Peep Mots that they designed. And Peep Mots is an amazing game. It's Little Songbirds in German. And it's a really cool game where you got birds at the bird feeder, and then you're playing cards and you're doing all this math. They always say that it's disappointingly mathy. And it's, I mean, it's addition and subtraction, but you're trying to figure out, when I play a bird, do the birds that are waiting at the feeder now kind of overpower and number the bird that's at the feeder? In which case I can collect that bird and then get a seed card from the differential. So if I play a card and the total's now six and there's a four, so then, yes, we overpower. I collect that bird. A bird will move up to the feeder, and then six minus four is two. I get the second seed card up, grab that, put in my pile for points. And you keep playing like that, and you're trying to collect birds to have the most of a type or species, and you're also trying to have, like, pairs, a male-female pair of each of the species to score points. Incredibly clever game. Not sure it's family weight, just because a lot of people get inundated by all that arithmetic. It's not heavy math, but it's not necessarily something people want to do all the time when they're trying to figure things out. But I thoroughly enjoy that game, Peep Mots. So Peep Mots and Runestones are really the two that I would tell people, if you haven't played them, go play them. They're really, really good games. But with that, I will wrap up this episode as my batteries die. I bet as soon as I go to do the goodbye, it's going to die. It'll be really funny. Cut off. But thanks so much, everybody, for listening. There will be another episode in October. I have Gen Con and ModderCon at my house, which is very tiny this year. Thanks so much for listening to episode 1.